And now, it's time for our weekly news round. Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
Cardinal Reinhard Marx has announced that the German Bishops' Conference will publish a pastoral handout for married couples that allows Protestant spouses of Catholics, in individual cases and under certain conditions, to receive Holy Communion, provided they affirm the Catholic faith in the Eucharist. According to the press report of the Archbishop of Munich and Freising, the handout is primarily aimed at pastoral workers and is understood as a tool for pastoral situations to consider the concrete situation and come to a responsible decision about the possibility of the non-Catholic partner to receive communion. The announcement was made after intensive debate at the conclusion of the General Assembly of the German Bishops' Conference, which was held on February the 19th to the 22nd in the Bavarian city of Ingolstadt and attended by 62 members of the Bishops' Conference under the leadership of Conference Chairman Cardinal Marx. The press release declares that its premise is that in individual cases, the spiritual hunger for receiving communion together in interdenominational marriages can be so strong that it could jeopardize the marriage and the faith of the spouse. The statement goes on to say that this applies all the more to spouses who already want to live out their marriage very consciously as a Christian couple. The central message of the handout is that everyone in a marriage that binds denominations, after a mature examination and a spiritual conversation with their priest or another person charged with pastoral care, that has come to a decision of conscience to affirm the faith of the Catholic Church, as well as thereby concluding a grave spiritual need, as well as fulfilling the desire to receive the Eucharist, may approach the Lord's table and receive communion. Cardinal Marx's statement emphasizes, "We are talking about decisions in individual cases that require a careful spiritual discernment." The handout is expected to be published in a few weeks' time. The Code of Canon Law states that, in the danger of death or in some other grave necessity urges it, Catholic ministers licitly administer penance, Eucharist, and anointing of the sick to Protestants who cannot approach a minister of their own community and who seek such of their own accord, provided that they manifest Catholic faith in respect to these sacraments and are properly disposed. The Bishop's announcement follows a discussion of such a proposal at a previous General Assembly held in the spring of 2017. According to Archbishop Ludwig Schick of Bamberg, in a report to the German Diocesan newspaper Tag des Herrn from March 2017, Schick is quoted as saying that the bishops were seeking a responsible decision on the question of non-Catholic partners in interdenominational marriages in individual cases by pastoral means. On December the 31st, 2016, the website of the Lutheran Ecclesial Community in Germany reported that Bishop Franz Josef Bode of Onnesbruck was hoping for a recognition of what was already the case, namely that in many places, Protestants went to communion with their Catholic spouses. "We have to give a foundation to what often already is in place in practice," the website quotes Bode from an interview with the Lutheran press agency EPD. More than 100 girls remain unaccounted for following a new attack on a school in northeastern Nigeria by suspected members of Boko Haram, officials have said. The students' disappearance may represent one of the largest kidnappings since the jihadist group abducted more than 270 schoolgirls from the town of Chibok in 2014. That case drew global attention to the insurgency and spawned the high-profile social media campaign Bring Back Our Girls. The federal government has confirmed that 110 students of the Government Science and Technical College in Dapchi, Yobe State are so far unaccounted for after insurgents believed to be from a faction of Boko Haram invaded their school on Monday, the Information Ministry said in a statement. The Information Minister, Lai Mohammed, said police and security officials had been deployed to schools in the state while efforts were being stepped up to rescue the missing girls. Yobe State government on Wednesday said dozens of the schoolgirls had been rescued by the military, sparking celebrations in the streets. But a day later, it issued a statement saying the girls were mostly unaccounted for. Boko Haram, whose name translates as Western Education is Forbidden in the Hausa language, widely spoken in northern Nigeria, has killed more than 20,000 people and forced 2 million to flee their homes in a violent insurgency that began in 2009. Christian leaders are taking the rare step of closing the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem, built at what is said to be the site of Jesus' crucifixion, in protest at Israeli tax policies which they say unfairly target the Christian community. Leaders of the Catholic, Greek, and Armenian denominations said they would indefinitely closing the church, home to Christianity's holiest sites, because of a systematic campaign by Israeli authorities. The move is the first time the church has been closed since 1990, when it was shut in protest at Israeli settlers taking over a Christian building, and it was not clear when its thousand-year-old doors will open again. This reminds us all of laws of a similar nature which were enacted against the Jews during dark periods in Europe, the churches said. The Christian denomination said they were protesting against the decision by Jerusalem city government to start levying taxes on church properties and a proposed bill in the Israeli parliament that would make it harder for them to sell property. The Christian churches are some of the largest landowners in the city, and the mayor of Jerusalem has said it's unfair that they do not pay full taxes on their vast property holdings. Church bank accounts have been shut down as officials pursue what they say are unpaid debt. Israeli ministers are also considering a bill which would stop them selling land in Jerusalem to property developers, raising the prospect that people who live on the land would be forced out of their homes. The Greek Orthodox Church in particular has been making vast land sales in recent years. Several of the sales have been at low prices, prompting allegations that corrupt deals were taking part behind the scenes. The church has strenuously denied these accusations. Control of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre is shared between the Catholic, Greek, and Armenian churches, as well as two smaller denominations. In a joint statement released on Sunday, the leaders of its three largest denominations said the moves by Jerusalem city government and Israeli ministers were part of a systematic and offensive campaign. These actions breach existing agreements and international obligations which guarantee the rights and privileges of churches within the Holy City of Jerusalem and their relationship with the civil authorities, they said. As a measure of protest, we decided to take this unprecedented step of closure of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Together with all heads of churches in the Holy Land, we stand united, firm, and resolute in protecting our rights and our properties. There was no immediate comment from Israeli authorities. The churches, which have existed for more than a millennium, have a complicated relationship with the 70-year-old Jewish state. Israel prides itself as a protector of Christianity at a time when Christians face widespread persecution and violence in the Middle East. More than 500,000 Christian tourists visit Israel each year, and tourism is a major part of the Israeli economy. I'm proud that Israel is a country in which Christians not only survive, but they thrive, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said last year at Christmas. However, most of the church's local adherents are Palestinians, and the churches often speak out about the Israeli occupation of the West Bank and the disastrous humanitarian situation in Gaza. The two sides also clash regularly over property rights and the expansion of Israeli settlements in the West Bank and in East Jerusalem. The current confrontation appears to be the most serious conflict between the churches and the Israeli state in decades. Donald Trump stopped at the church during his visit to Jerusalem last year, and it's usually a key part of any itinerary for tourists visiting the ancient city. Patras Masih, a 16-year-old Christian from Lahore, has been arrested and charged with blasphemy by Pakistani police after an allegedly insulting post appeared on a Facebook group page under his name. He was charged after a 12-hour mob protest which forced the local Christian community to flee their homes. A Facebook post of a photoshopped image depicting Patras standing on the dome of a mosque appeared online in his name on the 16th of January. There was no initial response from the authorities. On the 19th of February, hundreds of Muslim protesters blocked roads in the Shahdara district, which is home to 400 Christian families, and began setting tires alight and throwing stones at Christian properties. According to press reports, crowds swelled after an announcement was made in local mosques. Although police intervened to protect the Christians' homes, the Christian families fled. Patras Mazir is now under arrest and his family have had to go into hiding. In their rush to press charges, police registered Patras' case under Section 295C of the Pakistan Penal Code, which outlaws defiling the name of Muhammad, and officially carries a mandatory death penalty, although no one has yet been executed under that law. However, Patras is not accused of insulting Muhammad, but of hurting religious sentiment, which would normally legally fall under a different blasphemy law, for which the penalty is up to 10 years imprisonment and a fine. In 2013, a Muslim mob torched 170 homes in the Christian community of Joseph Colony in Lahore, following an unsubstantiated blasphemy allegation. Sharia law should never become part of the British legal system, the Archbishop of Canterbury said. Justin Welby said the Islamic rules are incompatible with Britain's laws, which have developed over 500 years on the principles of a different culture. He added that high levels of immigration from Muslim countries can have an impact on the accepted pattern for choosing a partner, on assumed ages of maturity and sexual activity, and especially on issues of polygamy. Archbishop Welby's comments follow the release early this month of a highly critical Home Office report that said all couples marrying in mosques should also have to go through a legally binding civil marriage ceremony to shield wives from injustices under Sharia. They also reversed the position taken by his predecessor Lord Williams, who backed incorporating Sharia into the British legal system. Archbishop Welby set out his reasons why Sharia should not win official status in a book, Reimagining Britain. He said yesterday in advance of publication that British law has underlying values and assumptions that come from a clearly Christian tradition. Sharia law is not just about punishments, he added. It is something of immense sophistication, but it comes from a very different background of jurisprudence to the one from which British law has developed over the past 500 years. The Archbishop said in his book that the arrival of large numbers of Muslims in Britain, there are thought to be 3.3 million here, has led many to challenge the values of the majority population. Among these are the right of people to choose their own husband or wife and the need for monogamous relationships. He added, there has been and remains a demand for the introduction of those aspects of Sharia law that affect family and inheritance. The problem is reimagining Britain through values applied in action can only work where the narrative of the country is coherent and embracing, the Archbishop said. Sharia, which has a powerful and ancient cultural narrative of its own, deeply embedded in a system of faith and understanding of God, and thus especially powerful in forming identity, cannot become part of another narrative. Accepting it in part implies accepting its values around the nature of the human person, attitudes to outsiders, the revelation of God, and a basis for life in law, rather than grace, the formative word of Christian culture. Archbishop Welby said that the way people understand home and family are a vital basis of society. They face enormous pressures and need one legal basis of oversight and one philosophical foundation of understanding. For these reasons, I am especially sympathetic towards those Islamic groups that do not seek the application of Sharia law into the family and inheritance law of this country, the Archbishop said. There are thought to be around 85 Sharia tribunals in the UK. They settle disputes including divorce and business arguments among those willing to accept their jurisdiction. But there are concerns some of those who appear before them, especially women, lack full freedom of choice and may be subject to processes that would never be allowed in a court of law. The Archbishop's comments reverse the position taken by his predecessor. The Home Office Sharia review carried out by academic Mona Siddiqui said some courts operate discriminatory rules. Men can divorce simply by demanding one, it said, but women are often obliged to pay large sums, sometimes seen as the equivalent of repayment of a dowry. In one case, a woman was denied a divorce until she paid her husband £18,000. The Siddiqui report recommended that all Islamic weddings should be backed by civil ceremonies so that Muslim brides have the full protection of civil law. Lord Williams backed the idea of Sharia as a full part of the British legal system in a BBC interview and lecture 10 years ago. He said people should be able to choose which jurisdiction they preferred, a choice that would mean Muslims could opt for courts that accept polygamy and outlaw the payment of interest in financial deals. Churches must switch off CCTV cameras during services because prayer is private, the Church of England court has ruled. The consistory court ruling is believed to be the first made on the ethics of CCTV in church and was made in response to a Canterbury vicar who applied to install two cameras so his church could be left open during the day. The Reverend Philip Brown and church wardens Robert Slow and Robert Allen want to install the camera system to deter vandals from damaging the church and to catch the actions of any wrongdoers. Areas set aside for private devotion seem to me to fall within the especially sensitive category where one would not expect to be filmed while praying. St Mary's Chartham is a Grade 1 listed medieval building, most of which was built between 1285 and 1305. Maurice Ellis QC, Commissary General of the Diocese of Canterbury, said that the cameras should be switched off during services, including regular Sunday worship and events such as weddings. Funerals and baptisms in particular are examples of occasions on which people are likely to be very sensitive, she said. Cameras should also be kept away from secluded areas designed for prayer, she added. Areas set aside for private devotion seem to me to fall within the especially sensitive character, where one would not expect to be filmed while praying. Similarly, in any churches where sacramental confession or other ministries of individual pastoral support such as healing are practiced, there should be no filming in the part or parts of the church set aside for such purposes, she said. Church of England churches are encouraged to keep their doors open, with experts advising that such a policy means vandalism is less likely than if the doors are locked. Ms Ellis, an ecclesiastical law expert who is also married to a Church of England priest, added that the footage should be kept for a maximum of 4 weeks because damage and theft in a church, where recordings could be of evidential value, will not always be spotted immediately. Churches should follow government guidance, which says the CCTV cameras operators must take into account its effect on individuals and their privacy. She said the 700-year-old church would not be damaged by the introduction of the cameras, as they would be fixed discreetly to roof timbers. A national funding scheme for places of worship was announced in 2016, which allows churches, mosques, gurdwaras, and other religious buildings which are vulnerable to hate crime with funding for measures such as CCTV cameras. And finally, only in Britain, where an English pub has cancelled a charity snail race scheduled to take place on Saturday after unseasonably icy weather made potential competitors too slow to compete. The cold snap has led to a medical problem with our racing snails. It's called hibernation, the Dartmoor Union Inn in southwest England said on its Facebook page. The Dartmoor Union Inn said it planned to reschedule what it had billed as the first international snail grand national in aid of a local air ambulance service once the weather's warmed up.
My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.
On your PC, tablet, mobile phone, and internet radio receiver, this is Lutheran Radio UK.